M37, number 3A.
Now, yesterday we have tried with an idea of one synonymous term, like intelligence, to blend it with other ideas of all the seven synonymous terms. This is very practical, because in practice, when you have to work on a certain idea which is under consideration, then you can see how with this method you can blend one idea with all the other ideas so as to get the full concept of that idea. Actually, you can see only then when we see an idea or a term, let's say a term or a concept like intelligence, in the reflection of all other terms or concepts, that only then this concept becomes really idea. Because idea means that it is reflecting all other ideas, is not isolated, and only then when it is absolutely reflected by all other ideas, we can really say, now I see the idea clearly. So it's like what Mrs. Eddy says, that these ideas have to be gathered into the focus of spirit, meaning that through the lens of spirit, all these ideas of the seven synonymous term are always focused on one idea, so that no idea stands alone. Intelligence, as we have seen yesterday, is only then really intelligence, or the idea intelligence, when we consider it reflecting all the other ideas of the seven synonymous terms. Now, this is something that we could do for months and months. Actually, we did it at our time when we didn't have much more to study than just that. We did that, so to say, as a basis for our practice. We would take all the ideas that would come to us in practice and take it and view it from the seven synonymous terms. So we cultured ourselves constantly in this method we have been doing yesterday. Therefore, this is not just an exercise which we have done once. It really should be a method how you, over years and years, day in and day out, really can culture your consciousness, so that when thinking about these important terms like intelligence or law or substance or things like that, supply or so, that you measure them up with the measuring rod of all the seven synonymous terms. And that slowly brings one into a rhythm of always bringing in the full reflection of being. So this would be, say, a method you could use over the next few years, so to say, day in and day out, whatever problem comes under your contemplation. Now, today I want to make a little experiment, because you have been so good yesterday in the synonymous terms, quite a masterly command of the terms, that I want to do something which you will only see what I have done when we finish it. So it's a little bit an experiment that I tried to do, because I feel you have a good grasp of the synonymous terms. We take today a negative, the term penalty. Penalty is a negative. What is penalty, the negative of which synonymous term? Principle? So, now, huh? Yes, love, yes. It's a counterfeit of love, huh? Yes, because love knows no penalty, doesn't know anything like that. So we take a counterfeit like penalty, that is a counterfeit of love, but we just stay with penalty. And I take this, or because of various reasons, I don't tell you yet which reasons, but one of the reasons certainly is a very practical reason, namely that we believe very much in the law of penalty, that we are penalized for various things, and that there is penalty for doing wrong, and that we can penalized even for doing good, that that was a very strong point in Mrs. Eddy's writings all over, right from the beginning. She must have had some marked experience that she always brings up, that by doing good, like watching at the bedside of a patient, one should not be penalized by overwork or by sitting in the draft, by doing good, and therefore be penalized by the law of matter, that there is no penalty for doing good. And naturally she has also to take up the question of penalty for doing evil. So that whole question of penalty, which, or curse also, which sits on our neck, so to say, where we constantly feel that we can be penalized for anything, either for doing right or for doing wrong, is something which we might now investigate and try to clarify the question of penalty from the standpoint of the seven synonymous terms. So we start with mind. What, say, would you see in mind if we consider the question of penalty? What would you, for instance, feel about penalty from the point of view of mind? Positive or negative? Yes?
That penalty has no mind under which it can function.
That penalty has no mind? No law? Yeah. So that penalty has no law to function? Yes. That's a very good one, huh? Would you say there is no law of penalty? Yes. Huh? So we could see, for instance, that there is no law of penalty. Yes. What else perhaps could we see as penalty? A penalty has no power. Yes.
Has no mind to create.
Has no mind to create, huh? Yes. Uh-huh. And could we ask who created penalty? What created penalty?
No mind to negative. It's not a positive. It never was created.
It never was created. Why did it function?
Did it function?
Yeah.
It had no beginning.
It had no basis for being.
Penalty has no basis, yes.
There's no mortal mind.
No mortal mind.
Uh-huh. So penalty would be a creation of mortal mind, would you say? That penalty is a mortal mind product, huh? Yes. Just as the other is true too, naturally. You see, you can look at it from various angles that you say mortal mind is really... The belief creates the belief of penalty, huh? That the divine mind does not create it, yes? And you said that because the divine mind does not create it, penalty has no law, there is no law of penalty, there is no power of penalty. You said there is no cause in penalty, yes? No? No influence. Penalty has no influence, yes? So can you see, we begin to realize, say, that first of all, you see, with mind is first. We would always ask with a negative, so to say, where does it come from? Huh? Where on earth does it come from that we have at all that false sense, that negative sense? And so here one would see that penalty has been created, so to say, in the belief of mortal mind, and has never been created in the divine mind, that the divine mind knows no law of penalty, but the mortal mind knows the law of penalty. And then you can go on, once you have asked, where does it come from, the false, you see, that's now a negative, you ask, where does it come from, and the most fundamental, basic concept is always that it comes, therefore, from mortal mind or from a belief, from human conception, mortal conceptions, and therefore, then you can say something positive about it, therefore, it has no basis, it has no power, it has no cause, it has no law. And you already get a very strong sense of penalty. Wouldn't you feel that way? Yes?
I'm feeling something that I want to clarify. It seems to me when you have a negative idea of penalty, that the need is to fill the vacuum since it isn't negative. There is a need for a translation.
Yes? Both.
I don't know if it's a direct translation of penalty into what it is in actuality, in reality, or if it's a translation in the manner that you get it.
Yes, yes. Well, you can do both, you see. You are quite right. Instead of filling the concept penalty always more and more, we can empty it. Can empty the concept more and more by showing its final nothingness. And I guess we would see that at the point of love, that it is absolutely nothing. So you could do that, and what we have been doing was that we empty the concept of penalty first through mind and say, well, mind doesn't actually exist because it has never been created by mind. It has only been created by mortal mind, by mortal belief. And so you take away from the fearful sense of a penalty, you take already away its roots. Say it has no root, it has no basis, because its basis is just mortal mind.
Make a direct translation. I can't think of what the positive of penalty.
Well, the positive is love. You see, that's why it is a negative of the synonymous term love. All what love means, that love is that terrific gift of grace that does not count your mistakes and does not punish you for your mistakes, that love always gives and gives and blesses universally, unlimited, impersonally, impartially. So you get that sense, which is the fact about penalty, the blessing of love. Yeah?
May I clarify this, because I'm not quite sure. Doesn't penalty have to do with Mosaic law?
Well, naturally, penalty has existed before the Mosaic law,
But they tried to enforce it, and so many people fall
into it. Yes, yes. Yeah. So penalty is something that has always existed, but it's true that the morals have strengthened the sense of penalty and of guilt. Because without morals, one doesn't have a sense of guilt and penalty. Yes. All right, do we feel that's happy about mind now? We go further to spirit, and let's see what we would find if we consider it from the point of view of spirit. What would you think you would find? Now, still think of penalty as the main subject. Now, what does spirit or the opposite of spirit say to that?
It says matter would impose the penalty, but spirit would offset that.
All right. You would say, who imposes it? And you would say, matter, or it is the law of matter that imposes penalty, and spirit would offset it. Yes? Yes?
It's not real because spirit didn't give it
away. Ah. So penalty is not real. But when do you feel, you see, we have to get right at the root of the belief of penalty. Once we have seen that in mind, penalty is a belief of mortal mind. Now, when do we get really the, when are we really penalized? When we do what?
When we believe it's a reality.
When we believe it is a reality, yes, but something must bring the penalty.
When we do evil.
When we do evil, for instance, doing evil, we are penalized, yeah? If we break the law of matter, huh? That's mostly. Huh? You break the law of matter and you get penalized. You don't obey the law of gravitation and you fall right down from the third floor. Huh? You get penalized. Huh? You sit in a draft and you get sick. Why? Because you transgress a law of matter. Huh? Yes?
Could you also say then, also, if we break a law of morality?
No. I think sin does penalize itself, you see. Yeah. But at the point of spirit, where you have the counterfeit of spirit is what? The flesh, matter. Huh? Therefore, we always have penalties then when we... When are we penalized? When we transgress, huh? The laws of matter. That's what the world accepts, that if you don't obey the laws of matter, you get penalized. And Christian Science is the only teaching there is, so to say, in the world, which says, no, you can break the laws of matter without being penalized. You can work more than an ordinary person like Florence Nightingale without being penalized by getting sick or tired or worked down and so on. That, see, every other science would accept that the moment we transgress the laws of matter, we get the penalty. That's really the deep belief of it. And in the science of spirit, we do not have to obey the laws of matter. We can transgress the laws of matter without being penalized. Yes? So you can afterwards say what you said, that penalty has no reality per se, but actually you feel this sense that... the laws of matter just can't penalize us. Huh? Yeah. Would you like to see something else about penalty from the point of view of spirit? I think it's a good point which we have made. Let's go to soul. What would you see in soul? Think of penalty, don't think of soul. Huh? Think of penalty from the point of view of soul, therefore always think from the opposite of soul. You see, now when we take a negative, we have to think about the claims of penalty, yes?
There is no penalty for sin.
There's no penalty for sin. Mm-hmm. Oh, so we can sin as much as we like.
I was going to ask, isn't there a right penalty sometimes?
Well, I think soul will solve this question, yes? Uh-huh. We only have to word it rightly.
Yes.
You see?
The physical senses that...
Yes, that bring about penalty.
But yeah. If we have soul sense or spiritual sense, then we can't be penalized.
Yeah. We have soul sense and spiritual sense, we can never be penalized, huh? Well, if you say that, you see, then you can take really the negative, huh? Because we are now under penalty, can say, what does penalize? What does actually penalize? Huh? Sin, huh? What you said, huh? Yeah, you see, that sin is penalizing itself. Huh? See, Ruth was trying to say that which is so right. She wants to say in soul there is no penalty. Huh? In soul there is no penalty because in soul you don't sin. Huh? And now we have to go and ask about the subject of penalty, you see. And see, penalty is actually that sin penalizes. That's the only thing that can penalize. You said, well, is there no penalty? Yes, there is. But not soul. The synonymous term penalizes. God never penalizes anybody. Huh? And yet, you could say, can you see? Soul does not penalize. Therefore, somebody could say, all right, then I can sin as much as I like and I'll never be penalized. Huh? That was the great question Paul had to meet in some of his churches. Because Paul came along, you know, and was preaching that we are all saved through faith, through the grace of God, that there is now no more the works of the law, that we have no more, so to say, earn heaven by our own works, by doing good, by keeping the laws of the scribes and the Pharisees of the Old Testament. He said, now look here, something new has happened. We are now all saved by just two things, by having faith in God, and that faith in God calls down grace, the gift of grace, and you get everything from God, all the blessing from God, and only the blessing of God you get. So you don't have any more to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You get it now as a gift of grace. So the people said, that's wonderful, that's much easier than before. We can go on and just live it up, huh? Real and good, because after all we are now saved through the grace of God. And that was a terrific issue for Paul yet to take that up in his letters and show, well, that's not the meaning. Huh? The meaning naturally is that you first have faith, and faith means to be, for his time, faith meant spiritual understanding, to be at one with God. If you are at one with God, naturally you don't sin. That's quite natural. Huh? So they cut that out and just wanted to have the gift of grace. So here is the problem, you see, which says, yes, sin has, soul knows no penalty, huh? Because soul is unaware of sin, because soul is sinless. But then you can ask, but what then does penalize? And then you have really the answer to say, oh, sin is its own punisher. If sin penalizes itself, or it is sin that penalizes. And what it penalizes is itself.
Isn't it almost that sin and its penalty are really a unit? And soul,
yeah,
remits both sin and its penalty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It's that identity of soul which gives the freedom of soul. It's the freedom that the world seems to want so badly, and yet they don't take that intermediate step.
Yes.
That brings the identity of soul, that spiritual understanding,
that's quite true, yes. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what you said? That soul is freedom and brings freedom, and the world asks for freedom, really, and for peace and joy and happiness beneath itself. But the world must also make the prerequisites, namely to be identified with God, with the divine. Then there is no sin there. And only sin penalizes itself. So, what else could you see, say, in soul about sin? About penalty.
Could you say that penalty penalizes?
Yes.
So, it is of its own nature, and it behaves according to its own nature?
Well, well, a penalty naturally is only then a penalty when you first have incongruity with the divine, which is called sin, funny enough, the old thing. So that penalty is an outcome, not the penalty is not a cause, huh? Yeah? Yeah? It's missing the mark, you see. That's typically so. If we miss the mark, then this penalizes itself, yes? So there is no God here who says, well, if you do something wrong, I penalize you. You see, that's the point. God doesn't say, because you sinned, I, God, penalize you. Can you see that? There's only saying, because you sin, sin is penalizing itself, not God. Yes?
Well, once we find ourselves in a situation where we feel
that
the penalty, we can say, okay, but then penalty doesn't rule.
Absolutely. Huh? You find yourself suddenly in a situation where you feel, oh, I have been penalized for doing this and that and the other, no matter if it was for good or for evil. And you feel you get the penalty. Huh? You get it back full and plenty. What is your attitude then in soul? You say, I rise above it. Huh? Or what did you say, yes?
Penalty does not rule me.
The law of penalty does not rule me. Huh? That's so. Therefore, you stand above penalty, the belief of penalty. Huh? Say, all right, the whole world can believe in the penalty for transgressing a law of matter or whatever it is, but I'm not going to let myself penalize for it. I stand above it, I'm supreme above it, I don't let myself be ruled by it, so we can really rise above the law of penalty, the so-called law of penalty. That's the first thing I think we do as a rule. Huh? But when we feel, oh golly, now I got it back, that we say, no, I resist it. Huh? I rise right above that law of penalty and go into the law, superior law of soul, huh? Where the greater controls the lesser. Yes.
Well,